This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello, welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehius Wuhib in Washington. Here is what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
So children are not learning, and we are trying to reach out to them in different ways to ensure that there is a continuity of learning even when they are at home. And this learning passport as a platform can be a basis for countries to use to support that initiative.
That's UNICEF's Regional Education Advisor for Eastern and Southern Africa on a new digital teaching program aimed at reaching children at home. Details coming up. Also, Cameroon police use force to disperse Muslims praying at mosques at the start of the holy month of Ramadan. And the World Food Program warns of a hunger pandemic, particularly in the central Sahel region of West Africa. These stories and more ahead on Africa News Tonight. But first, here is our top story. Cameroonian police used force to disperse Muslims praying at mosques at the start of the holy month of Ramadan today for violating government orders not to gather because of the coronavirus. Cameroon has confirmed at least 1,300 COVID-19 infections and 43 deaths, the hardest hit country in Central Africa. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé.
Cameroonian police said in a statement they used force to disperse Muslims from at least 13 mosques in the country's west, center and far north regions, where they insisted on saying prayers during the Ramadan fasting period that began Friday, in spite of a government ban because of COVID-19. Awa Fonka, governor of the western region of Cameroon, says he asked the police to force Muslims who did not respect the order and were praying in mosques in the towns of Fumban, Fumbot and Bafusam out. He spoke by messaging up from Bafusam. He says he will not spare anyone who refuses to respect measures taken by the government of Cameroon to protect its citizens from the deadly coronavirus, and that he cannot imagine how people can be joking about a virus that is claiming lives all over the world and sparing no one who refuses to protect him or herself. The police also said that some Muslims in Cameroon were sending away outsiders from towns hit hardest by the outbreak, and that they had received 175 complaints from Cameroonians who were either stigmatized or chased from villages because they had come from towns where COVID-19 infections had been reported. 34-year-old fruit and vegetable seller Gaston Asabe is one of them. He says when he arrived in his northern village of Koza Thursday night to buy onions and supplies to take back to Yaoundé, villagers and relatives chased him, saying he was a coronavirus carrier since he was coming from Yaoundé, which has Cameroon's highest COVID-19 infection rate. He spoke via a messaging app from the northern town of Marwa, where he escaped for safety. He says Koza villagers went to their chief and imam and told them he had come from Yaoundé with the coronavirus and they were afraid he would contaminate them. The villagers wanted the chief and imam to allow young men to throw him out of Koza. He says he struggled in vain to explain that he was not infected, but no one would listen to him. Imam Dairu Abdullahi of the 5th Mosque in Koza says Asabe was attacked after the government repeated that mosques should remain closed during Ramadan. Abdullahi says Muslims in the village argued that they have not had any cases of COVID-19 and will remain safe attending Ramadan prayers in their mosque if they stop visitors from towns where the virus has been confirmed from coming to their village. Abdullahi said by phone from Koza that he asked the Muslims to stay home and be safe.
La région de l'islam vient préserver un certain nombre de choses parmi lesquelles ce qu'on appelle
He says Islam and their prophet Muhammad teaches through the Quran that lives should be protected through good health and hygiene, and as such, all Muslims should stay at home as a sign of obedience to the Quran's teachings. He says no one should blame the government for asking the mosque closure because that will save lives. Manauda Malashe, Cameroon Minister of Health, speaking through a messaging app, calls on the population to respect government measures to stop COVID-19, no matter their religious or traditional beliefs. He says he is insisting that people should be responsible because COVID-19 is a matter of life or death. He says believers should know that by staying safe and praying at home, they are not only protecting themselves but other faithful from being contaminated by the coronavirus. Manauda says there will be time to celebrate when the virus is conquered. Cameroon's first case of COVID-19 was confirmed March 5. The government, among other measures, asked Christians and Muslims to pray at home to avoid its spread. The health ministry says that the cases will continue to rise if Cameroonians fail to take COVID-19 seriously. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
UNICEF and Microsoft Corporation have announced the expansion of a global learning platform to help children and youth affected by COVID-19 continue their education at home. According to UNESCO, globally, at least 1.5 billion students and 63 million primary and secondary teachers are affected by the unprecedented disruption caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, with school closures in 191 countries. Mavis Ochera in Ghana has more.
The Learning Passport started off as a partnership between the United Nations Children Agency, Microsoft, and the University of Cambridge. It was developed to provide education for displaced and refugee children through a digital learning platform. It has now undergone rapid expansion to develop country-level curriculum for students whose schools have been forced to close because of COVID-19. The platform would also provide resources to teachers and educators. Abiyan Rana is the UNICEF Regional Education Advisor for Eastern and Southern Africa based in Nairobi, Kenya. He says out of 21 countries his office work with, all except Burundi have closed their schools. He says almost 120 million children in the region now are out of school, and the learning passport could be a resource that can be used to reach children at home.
So children are not learning, and we are trying to reach out to them in different ways to ensure that there is a continuity of learning even when they are at home. And this learning passport as a platform can be a basis for countries to use to support that initiative.
Rana says the learning passport was originally designed to provide education and school certification for children who were on the move, especially when the Syrian crisis began and many children were displaced. Rana says students will need to use devices such as laptop computers or tablets to access the learning platform, and that they can download the material and use it offline. He says UNICEF and its partners are also looking for other ways to reach children out of school through radio and television and text messages, which could all be uploaded in the learning passports.
So in those cases, the governments have, in many of the countries, started radio programs that children can actually listen to at home and continue their learning process through what we call interactive radio instructions. And children can actually listen to their teachers, their lessons over the radio, which has a lot more coverage than, say, internet And hence, we are reaching the most deprived children through those kind of channels.
Now, as COVID-19 has expanded rapidly, the learning passport can become a repository for learning models that could be specific for a national curriculum or global library accessible by anyone who wants to use it.
So it will have both kinds of content. It could have content that could be used in, say, Malawi, which will be uploaded onto that platform, and then, you know, it can be used immediately, or which is what we call ready to deploy. And of course, there will be globally available repositories of global content that can also be adapted and used in the countries.
He says the learning passport is a way to have different types of teaching methods in one place so governments can adapt it for different parts of the country, be it remote areas, slum communities, or cities. It cannot solve all problems, however. UNESCO, the United Nations Education Agency, says about half of all students out of school because of COVID-19 pandemic do not have access to computer or the internet. Reporting for VOA, this is Mavis Autry in Ghana.
Zimbabwe's government has announced the reversal of price hikes on basic commodities that came after government's 21-day coronavirus lockdown sparked panic buying. Prices will be frozen at the old rates. Reporter Kuzai Zenawashi has the details.
Vice President Kembo Mohadi has been in charge of Interministerial Task Force on COVID-19. He told reporters that the lockdown announcement inspired unfair price hikes.
When His Excellency the President, Edi Mnangagwa, announced the lockdown, prices skyrocketed, generating increasing difficulties for the general public to access food items such as bread, sugar, cooking oil, vinegar, and flour.
In government's bid to resolve this, Mohadi says the Minister of Industry and Commerce held a multi-sectoral meeting with stakeholders, which included the Grain Millers Association of Zimbabwe, Consumer Council of Zimbabwe, Confederation of Zimbabwe Retailers, and others.
There was a general agreement that the price increase, particularly during the lockdown, was speculative and unjustified. So the multi-sectoral stakeholders committed to a price moratorium up to operate based on the prices which were applicable on the 25th of March 2020.
He adds that the moratorium is effective immediately and applies to all industry players. Mohadi's address to the media was followed by various heads of the stakeholders who were part of the meeting, pledging support of the moratorium and assuring the price reversal and freeze will be initiated. Political analyst Rashid Mukundu says the moratorium comes with a risk.
There is a high risk that government's interventions to control the price of basic goods may actually result in shortages. What we'll see is that goods would start disappearing from our shelves.
Government and stakeholders do not foresee shortages of goods since the moratorium is the result of agreement by all stakeholders. The lockdown saw a demand of basic goods and very few shops opened to serve the public. This has resulted in long queues to get into shops as demand grew. As the rule of economics detects, this demand forced price hikes. The moratorium would be welcome to the majority of Zimbabweans who were finding it difficult to catch up with the runaway prices. Now, they wait to see if this will be enforced and adopted by retailers. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zunamashi from Harare.
The World Food Programme has warned of a hunger pandemic as conflict and the COVID-19 pandemic cut off people's access to food in war zones across the world. Of particular concern is the Central Sahel region of West Africa. In recent years, insurgencies and counterinsurgencies have displaced over 1 million people in the Central Sahel countries of Burkina Faso, Niger, and Mali, causing a major hunger crisis. For more, VOA's Jason Patinkin spoke to the World Food Programme's West Africa spokesman, George Fominien, in Dakar, Senegal, about how COVID-19 is making a bad situation even worse.
In the lean season, that is the period when people have just gone to their farms and fields and planted, and they're waiting for the harvest. That this period when they usually do not have enough supplies, we would probably have about 5.5 million people who would be approximately in need of, who will be facing severe food insecurity and would need food assistance.
With COVID-19, how is that impacting people's ability to access food? And also, how is that impacting the ability for the World Food Program or other organizations and governments to bring food to the people who need it, to the people in refugee camps, to the people in IDP camps, those really most vulnerable people?
Exactly. And I would even start from that point. It's the point of the supply chains, because if the supply chains are not working, if as a result of the restrictions in movement, we are not able to move the necessary support for people, that's a real difficulty, not only for humanitarian organizations, but even for businesses, even for the governments and the communities. So let's take the example of the Sahelian countries. Most of these countries are landlocked. Burkina Faso, Mali, Niger, they're landlocked, which means that if they need supplies, whether it's goods for the normal services in the country or if even when it's humanitarian supplies, they have to come in through the coastal countries and have to move in. Now, what we have been urging, and we have to say that there's a positive nod towards that, what we've been urging the government is that they should understand that These supply chains need to be maintained. We need to be able to have both for the humanitarian purposes, but also for the commercial purposes to supply the people, that there is access and there is movement so that you can get supplies, whatever they may be, to communities.
In Burkina Faso, Mali, Niger, where there's a lot of conflict, you know, what needs to be done in terms of the conflict to at least ease things right now? Is there any indication that some of these armed groups or governments or whoever it may be are reducing the amount of military operations to help or allow things to improve a bit during COVID-19?
The highest levels of food insecurity, the places where we had to do most of our work in the world, were in places where there was conflict. And so if you eliminate that, if you find a way to bring peace, if we find a way to dialogue, if we find a way to ensure that people live in conditions where their lives are not disrupted and their livelihoods are not disrupted, there's a possibility that you lower the chances of people in food insecurity. And therefore, that would be the message. That is a message of peace. Maybe this is something that comes to remind us that we need to find a way to live together.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington. Here is a recap of our top stories. Cameroon police use force to disperse Muslims praying at mosques at the start of the holy month of Ramadan. And the World Food Programme warns of hunger pandemic, particularly in the central Sahel region of West Africa. And for more news and information, visit our website at voanews.com. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa is lowering the country's coronavirus lockdown level from the current level 5 to level 4, starting May 1st. Ramaphosa said he has decided to move the country from the current total lockdown to a level that will allow some economic activities to gradually return. He has, however, warned that the worst is not yet over and old citizens compelled to be out of their houses will be required to wear face masks. Tuso Kumalo reports from Johannesburg.
In his announcement, President Cyril Ramaphosa said he knows the dangers posed by the easing of lockdown regulations, but said there were equal dangers if the economy was left under an indefinite lockdown.
If the virus spreads too quickly, There are not enough hospital beds, intensive care units, ventilators, personal protection equipment, or medicines for everyone who needs them.
Under level 4, food shops will be allowed to sell their full range of goods. All agricultural activities will be able to resume. Open cast mines will operate at full scale, while underground mines will not exceed 50% capacity. Financial and professional services will also be allowed to operate at full capacity, while other businesses will be allowed an incremental return. Public and private transportation will now be allowed to operate throughout the day, but with restricted passenger capacity and strict hygiene requirements, and passengers will be required to wear masks. However, Ramaphosa said a number of restrictions will remain. Borders will remain closed and no interprovincial travel will be allowed. All public gatherings are still prohibited. Bars, theatres and sporting activities remain suspended. Many people welcomed the decision announced Thursday night. Zwelinzima Mavavi is the Secretary General of the South African Federation of Trade Unions.
The lockdown, the hard pill to swallow, is a heavy punch to every South African. For the working class, it's been absolutely very hard.
John Steenhuisen, the leader of the Democratic Alliance Party, also approves of the move.
It's a very good decision by the president to open up the economy so that we could confront the twin threats to South Africa of a loss of life due to the virus and also loss of life and livelihoods to an economic collapse.
Political analyst Ncebisi Ndletshana says the government had very few options considering the impact the lockdown was having on the economy.
It's a very tricky situation in the sense that after this lockdown is done, when people are faced with unemployment, they will forget that there was ever this virus to deal with. So when they are faced with unemployment and hardships, they are going to blame the government.
Even as the government looks towards easing the lockdown, it is deploying more than 70,000 soldiers to assist in efforts to fight the virus, with such duties as providing water, sanitation, health services and infrastructure. Tuso Kumalo for VOA News, Johannesburg.
More than 50 years ago, South African pop star Miriam Makeba recorded her smash hit, Pata Pata, which means touch, touch, in the Hausa language. Now, internationally acclaimed Beninese singer Angelika Kidjo has re-recorded the song with new lyrics to help educate people about how to avoid the coronavirus. Kidjo is a UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador, as was Makeba, who passed away in 2008. Kidjo said she was inspired to record the song to fight coronavirus after the disease killed her friend and fellow musician, Manu Dibango of Cameroon, a UNICEF press release said. She said, "I hope from our confined spaces we can dance once more." UNICEF said in a press release, people anywhere can share videos of themselves dancing at home to Pata Pata on social media. The organization will include the best ones in a music video it will release next month.
By doing what we need to do.
Wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. For all the latest development on the continent, 24/7, visit our website at voanews.com. And on behalf of our producer, Mokbilia Baro, I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington, thanking you again for tuning in and choosing the Voice of America.